thinking back in the 60s. Yes, I'm old enough to remember that. Back in the 60s, my dad worked a part-time job for a man who had a television and radio sales and service business. I don't think there's any of those left anymore because we do things differently now. But back in the day, televisions and radios could actually be worked on, and there was a little bit of a business that could take place at that time. But anyway, my dad working part-time for this man, I remember one evening he came home with a really badly beaten console stereo. Now, those of us that remember the 60s remember console stereos. I see at least a few heads from the young people. I'm getting blank stares. I have no idea. That must have been before iPods. Yeah, right. Yeah, stereos were big back then. Yeah, you couldn't carry them in your pocket. But anyway, Dad came home with a badly damaged console stereo. A console stereo was a piece of furniture. You know, these were nice wooden objects, nice pieces of furniture. You're proud to set that in the living room and had the speakers on the side and the ends and the turntable. Yeah, they had turntables back then, had that in there and the radio and all that good stuff. Well, anyway, he brought home this very badly beaten console stereo. The story goes that the owner of the business had bought a load of stereos and radios and so forth, loaded them in the back of a pickup truck, and he's headed back to his shop, driving down the interstate. This one on the top wasn't secured real well. It fell off onto the interstate. Skidded quite a while, rolled, and it really got beat. Fortunately, I guess another car truck didn't run over it. But anyway, this unit's what my dad brought home. And much to their surprise, the thing still worked. So they powered it up, and you know, you could play records and the radio and all that good stuff, but it just really didn't look terribly pretty. It was in pretty bad shape from the outside, at least. So I guess the man that owned the shop made a pretty good deal with my dad on the stereo. And so my dad set to work rebuilding and repairing the cabinet of this console stereo. I don't know how much time he put in. I was just a kid, but I remember he put a lot of time into it. And I remember the day that I came home from school when he had finished the work. And the thing had been setting up on a coffee table or something. But anyway, the day that it was all done, I came home, the thing setting down on its legs, because I think all of them had been broken because of the accident. But he had fixed this thing up. And it was a beautiful piece of furniture. And not only did it work, but it looked nice to be sitting in the living room. So he had very painfully restored something that had been very, very badly damaged. The very beginning of things, God created perfection. God created a perfect earth, perfect universe, perfect people. As we know, it all took a rather traumatic ride, kind of like that stereo. Took a traumatic ride because of sin. And so because of sin, God's world, God's people, everything has been completely broken. Nothing is spared. We know the story back in the book of Genesis. Because of sin and the brokenness that it brought in, it resulted in things like painful childbirth for women, hard, sweaty work for men, a curse upon the ground, weeds that would come up where produce used to come up, and ultimately, the worst result of all being that of death. God's world and God's people could not possibly be any more broken than all of that. Romans 8, verses 22 and 23, I often come to these verses because they describe well the dilemma. We know that the whole creation groans and suffers the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only this, but also we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our body. It's a great dilemma. We are broken, but yet we've got a fix within us. Namely, we have the first fruits of the Spirit of God. But it's not done yet. The brokenness is not completely healed. And so the world in its brokenness, as it says, groans and it suffers as though in the pain of childbirth. We also groan in our brokenness, even though we have some wholeness because of the first fruit of the Spirit of God. We also are groaning because yet we're still broken this side of the kingdom of God. All of God's creative work has been marred by brokenness. And again, nothing and no one is immune. This side of the Garden of Eden, we are broken in every sense of the word, physically, spiritually, and emotionally. But of course, the good news that we have to share is the fact that nothing and no one is broken beyond repair. I celebrate that. I rejoice in that today. The last few Wednesday nights in our Bible studies, we've been taking a look at the parables of Jesus, and we've been considering the fact that every one of his parables have something to do with the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God, as you know, is something I like to talk about a great deal because I think it is so vitally important. But I think that if we're going to really understand what Jesus teaches concerning the kingdom of God, we've got to understand that main theme regarding the kingdom of God. There is a phrase that I've been tossing out, and a phrase that's really been running over and over in my mind recently. And I hope this helps us to get our minds around the brokenness that exists and what God plans to do about it. The kingdom of God, to my understanding, I think we can summarize it in this phrase: it is God's restoration project. That's a big part of why I love to talk about the kingdom of God, because it is God's plan to take everything and everyone that is broken and to restore and to make perfect and to make whole. A verse that means all the world to me is Acts chapter 3, verse 21. Again, we've been talking so much about this on Wednesday nights, but I don't know that we can talk about it too much. It's so very important. Acts 3, 21, the Apostle Peter speaks about Jesus, whom heaven must receive until, and this phrase is so important, until the period of restoration of all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient time. I hang on to that verse. It is so vitally important in understanding the kingdom of God that Jesus taught and described through his parables. This is the good news that we like to talk about as we come together as believers. Talk about the good news, the gospel. The good news is that God has indeed a plan to fix everything that is broken. And again, that phrase out of that verse, the period of restoration, that's what it's all about. There is a particular era, a particular period of time in which God will go about restoring all that has been broken. God has talked about it time and time again. According to Peter in that verse, he has verified it through all the prophets down through the ages. There is not a single prophet that you cannot read in the Old Testament that you don't get a hint of the plan of restoration that God has to accomplish one day in all fullness. I think that message is especially bright during the most difficult times. Israel went through some really dark and difficult times. Even in those times, the prophets were saying, hey, it's not all over. God has a plan for restoration. And the message rings on down to us today. God is on target to restore everything that is broken. I lament the fact that most of Christianity has distorted and neglected this great and important truth. The popular message is that when you die, you're going to fly away to heaven for a place of reward. I think that teaching such a thing, focusing on such a message, indicates, at least by those who would perpetuate it, that the earth is too broken to fix. So therefore, the only option is that God's got to have this replacement plan. And I really think that's what it is. It is a replacement to the restoration plan. I think that's tragic. I really do. I think that it's so important to come back to what God's real plan is, and that is to restore that which is broken. A broken planet and the broken people who live on that planet. This idea of replacing the restoration, again, you're not going to find a hint of it by any of the prophets. In fact, the message of restoration comes across loud and clear, especially by Micah the prophet. I want to share these verses, the first four verses, out of Micah chapter 4. These are tremendously encouraging and important verses. This is what God says through Micah, who I don't know why they called him a minor prophet. I think he's pretty major as far as I'm concerned, because this is a major message. But some of these prophets are called minor prophets. I would never say that to their faces. God used them like everybody else. So here's a major message from a so-called minor prophet, Micah 4, 1-4. And it will come about in the last days. That's that period of restoration, by the way. It will come about in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord will be established as the chief of the mountains. It will be raised above the hills, and the peoples will stream to it. Many nations will come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord and to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us about his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For from Zion, that's an earthly location, city of Jerusalem, from Zion will go forth the law, even the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he will judge between many peoples and render decisions for mighty distant nations. Then they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up sword against nation, and never again will they train for war. Each of them will sit under his vine and under his fig tree with no one to make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. That doesn't sound the slightest bit like a flyaway hope to me. That sounds an awful lot like planet Earth. And it sounds to me like a perfect restoration plan regarding truth and regarding peace and regarding prosperity. Again, Micah is not the only one to talk about. Every single one of the prophets had something to say about God's restoration plan. Take, for example, Isaiah the prophet. He says concerning that very same period of time, Isaiah 35 verses 5 and 6, he says, then, at that time, that period of restoration, then the eyes of the blind will be opened, and the ears of the deaf will be unstopped. Then the lame will leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute will shout for joy. Isaiah says that's that time of restoration. Broken people are going to be made whole. All these physical infirmities are going to be healed, and everything will be set straight. So very interesting that to verify that indeed that he was the Messiah, the Son of God, Jesus communicated this plan of restoration through some messengers to John the Baptist who had some questions about his identity. Jesus wanted to verify his ministry and indicate, my ministry is all about God's restoration plan. Matthew 11, verses 4 to 6, Jesus answered and said to them, go and report to John what you hear and see. And what was it they were hearing and seeing? He quotes exactly out of the passage in Isaiah I just read. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. He says, blessed is he who does not take offense at me. He says, you know that restoration plan Isaiah talked about that would be in the future? I'm giving you a taste of it by what I'm doing right now, by the mighty miracles I perform. I line up with my Father. I participate fully in the restoration plan. And so that's exactly what the earthly ministry of Jesus was all about. He gave signs. He gave evidence. Broken people during his ministry experience wholeness as an indicator, as a glimpse of the true wholeness that would come. And the ultimate wholeness would be through something called resurrection. The Bible has a great deal to say about that, but resurrection is the only way for broken people to truly be made whole in the coming age. So again, the primary mission of Jesus is that of the restoration plan of God. Again, with Isaiah as his evidence and his backing, he began his ministry by saying these things and recorded in Isaiah chapter 61, 1 and 2. One day in a synagogue, Jesus took the scroll and he read these words. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to bring good news to the afflicted. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. He announced his partnership with the Heavenly Father in the restoration project called the Kingdom of God. The Lord has anointed me. My Father has anointed me, has selected me to bring good news to those afflicted, to bind up those that are brokenhearted. All those things to do with brokenness, he brought him to restore those things, to begin that process. Again, God, our Father, is about a restoration project. Jesus partners with him. Psalm 34, verse 18, God, our Father, says this, The Lord Yahweh is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A snapshot, a picture of God, what He is about, who He is. God is near to the brokenhearted, to people in His creation who've been broken because of sin. He saves those who are crushed in spirit. That is a tremendously encouraging message for each one of us. He is the God of broken people. And each of us are broken in a variety of ways. Psalm 147, verse 3, echoes a similar thought. He heals the brokenhearted and He binds up their wounds. He brings some partial healing toward brokenheartedness today. It will not be fully realized this side of the kingdom of God, but God is in that process. God is actively working to heal that which is broken, and ultimately one day total healing and restoration in the age to come. Again, I just felt a special burden to share these things with you today, because I believe that God wants us to really truly see the great message of the kingdom of God, His restoration project, and how it has a very personal bearing upon each one of us right now. Because every one of us in this room are broken to some degree. We may not want to admit it. We may not even know all the ways that we're broken. We may be sitting here saying, you don't know how badly broken I am. Whatever the case, we have a God who is actively at work today to mend that which is broken, and a plan to bring complete healing to the brokenness. I'm so thankful to serve a God, to know a God that is actively at work to bind up those wounds in part now, even as He has that plan to bring it about in fullness in the age to come. And I believe that along those lines, God has designed His church, the body of Christ, to partner with Him in that work. This is one of the main things that we are about as a group, to participate with God in His restoration project. And that involves work in a multitude of ways. It is reaching out to lost people outside of our building and our fellowship. It is reaching out to people who are badly broken and hurting and looking for solutions, and they don't even know what they're looking for, to bring that restoration project and process to them, to help them in their brokenness, but we also bring it to bear on one another in the body of Christ. That's why encouragement is so vitally important. We need that, because when we encourage each other, we participate with God in His restoration project. That's why supportive prayer is so important, because we participate with God in His restoration project. That's why love and forgiveness and acceptance, all those things, that's why they're all so important. We know it's the right thing to do because Scripture says to do it, but this is another dimension. We participate with God, the God of broken people. We participate in His restoration project when we share and do those things with one another. Thinking about the kind of worship that we've shared together, I think that's why this type of worship is important also, where every member has the privilege and the opportunity to bring and to share something that contributes to the healing and the health of every member of the body of Christ. Even to bring our pain, to share that, because that's a part of it. But that's why I think this is so important, because this is a practical way that we share with God in His restoration project. Again, let this truth come through today. God is the God of broken people. God is about the restoration project. God wants us to partner together with Him in that plan to bring wholeness to brokenness. That's what I think it means to be a kingdom people. You know, I come to it time and again, but it's on the bulletin every single week. And I want you to think, kingdom may be a word that doesn't mean that much. I want you to think of restoration project as you read that phrase every Sunday. Bringing God's restoration project, that wholeness, the wholeness of God's restoration project, bringing that to human brokenness. Again, God is the God of broken people, that we share with Him, bringing that to human brokenness as we await the fullness of that restoration project at the return of Christ. Maybe that's not exactly right. It begins that project that's going to take 1,000 years, but it comes to a major level of restoration fullness. We're going to get resurrected at that time. That's about as full as it gets for us. But the project continues on. But keeping all of that in mind, that I think from the bottom of my heart is our purpose. As the body of Christ, we participate with God in the restoration project, and we bring that restoration project to bear on brokenness wherever we see it. It exists within. It exists without. Wherever we encounter it, that's the good news that we bring. And we bring it and share it on a multitude of levels. Again, Psalm 34, 18, a truth I hope really burns in our mind today. The Lord God is near to the brokenhearted, and He saves those who are crushed in spirit. He does it in part today, but we know ultimately He does it in fullness in the age to come. With that in mind, may we find help amidst our brokenness now as we look for the full help to come. May we find it from Him personally. May we find it from one another, the people of God. And may we ultimately be tools of restoration in His hands to bring that good news to everybody He would direct us to. Amen?